Well, hello, Local to Legend listeners. It's Emily here. And today I have the great pleasure of having my dear friend Jacob on with me. He's a fellow Drake alum, and we have both been living in Des Moines for, gosh, I don't even know how long. A long time. And we both consider ourselves champions, but he is doing some incredible work and I'm super excited to introduce you to him. So his bio says that he is passionate about uplifting our great city along with empowering others to collaborate and differentiate themselves. He works for Principal Financial Group and speaks to groups like us about growing their professional network, differentiating themselves in a highly saturated market, and how to use LinkedIn to grow their brand and their business. He also sits on the Young Variety Board as the president. And Jacob believes that growing your personal and professional network is one of the most important tasks that we have to do, and that together we can change the world. That's pretty beautifully said, Jacob. So welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit in your words about yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you so much, Emily, for having me be here. It's an honor to be able to talk about, well, me for a change. But I'm an Iowa guy. So I am a Drake alum, a 2012. But I haven't traveled very far. I'm from Newton, Iowa, originally, and thought I'd be in Kansas City by now because I love Kansas City. But while I was at Drake, fell in love with all the changes that were happening in Des Moines. And here I am almost a decade later, which is kind of crazy. So I graduated, thought I was going to do hospital administration, was kind of the dream, and worked at Principal for a while, left for another firm. And now I'm a financial advisor here in Des Moines, back at Principal. And I just love being able to talk to people about actually all kinds of stuff, but variety is definitely a big passion of mine as I am president, and LinkedIn and networking and why we should be doing that no matter who you are, and getting involved just in Des Moines. Des Moines is a phenomenal place to live, to work, and to play. And there's a lot of amazing humans that live right here that are actually impacting places all across the world. And it's really awesome to be here.
Okay. So have you always been the type of person who's like naturally networking and connecting people, or is this something you like learned as you became an adult or went through college?
Definitely something that I learned. So a fun fact about me is I'm actually very much introverted. So meeting people is really hard for me. I'm an extroverted introvert. I should clarify that. So I'm definitely outgoing, but it drains me emotionally. So it didn't come naturally because that's always counterintuitive to do things that would drain you. But people amazed me. So the reason I love people is every human that you run across has a different perspective to see the world and has different life experiences. And everybody has a story that I believe needs to both be told and also be heard. And if we can do that, it will change the way that we see people, be change the way that we interact with people, and we'll grow in empathy and compassion. And when I talk about changing the world, that's kind of what we need to do, is be able to see where people are coming from so that we can solve problems. And so it didn't come naturally, but what I did find was that people disagreed with me and I didn't know why, because it made sense from my perspective. And then we started having conversations and it just kind of changed everything. And then after I got into college, I realized, or after college, I should say, I started to see that, oh man, it's not just having a degree. It's not just knowing knowledge, but it's really important for us to know people that will vouch for us and go to bat for us. And so I made it kind of a mission just to grow my network, to be known in Des Moines. And then after that, go, now can I help people do this earlier than what I learned it? And so it's kind of, I've learned it. And then now I wanted to pass it on so that people can learn from kind of our mistakes. And if we can shave off 2, 3, 5 years of that learning process, then ultimately we kind of expedite people's goals and dreams.
I love that. So you're going to give us the shortcut to finding success on LinkedIn today then, huh? So Jacob is someone I've always admired for so many reasons. And one of them is like his dedication to the LinkedIn. And people listening, so typically individuals who participate in Local to Legend content are local business owners. Some of them have like brick and mortars and some are service providers. And so I always kind of been like on the fence about LinkedIn content and like bringing you in because I was like, I'm not totally sure it's the right platform, right? And so the more I was thinking about it though, I'm like, it does work and is a great place to spend time for some people, especially B2B. And I just wanted your take on LinkedIn. So for the people who are like, I feel like I have to be a million places, how do they know that LinkedIn is where they should be spending time?
Well, obviously I'm biased because it is the one platform that I focus all my time on. So I would naturally say that everybody should be on LinkedIn, at least to some capacity. I'm not saying that everybody needs to spend hours a week on it, but if you want to use the platform successfully, you have to be engaged. You can't just have a profile and you can't just post things. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. But if you, that's your whole strategy for how you're going to use LinkedIn, it's better for you not to use it. Because the algorithm's going to ding you. It's going to be hard to get engagement. And you're going to have to kind of work out of kind of LinkedIn purgatory. If that's your strategy, it'd be better if you didn't have a profile at all. But if we are going to talk about how can we stand out and how can we be use some of these platforms and use some of the stuff we're already using for other platforms. So if you use a Hootsuite or some of these other posting things, you can still use the same stuff. And you might have to format it a little bit different, but to communicate your same message. And I mean, and we were talking about this just before we were on here, is kind of here's the demographic. You have 700 plus million world users, 310 million of those log in at least once a month, which isn't a good, you know, about half. But 40% of those people, so we're looking at about 155 million, are daily users. So that means 155 million, not everybody is in Des Moines, so it kind of depends on your demographic, but a majority are in the U.S., is people are on, they are active or at least logging in, and honestly, only 3 million post at least once a week. So my call to action is always, can we start to try to build something out by posting at least once a week? Because if we do that, in monthly users, you're in the top 1%. And what other platform on social media can you be in the top 1% pretty quickly? I don't know a single one.
So yeah, I would most of what I recommend is Instagram, but I see potential with LinkedIn from a connecting standpoint, from like, if you operate in a specific city, finding people in your city who might buy your services, buy your products, might know someone to refer your business to. And it's a great way to build a professional network where people expect to show up and professionally engage. Unlike any other social media platform, that's like, some people use it for business, sure, but LinkedIn, you like are expected to use it for business. So I find that creating content there can be really effective. But I think something I'd love for you to talk about more is like, how you create content there, because you do not spend time on LinkedIn like pitching yourself. You always show up and elevate other people. So when did you start doing that and start kind of noticing like, oh, this is like actually everyone wins when I create content this way?
Yeah, that's a phenomenal question. And it started about 3 years ago. So what I started seeing is that generic posts were a lot of specific industries will have like very generic posts. So, hey, we're creating content. And they didn't get very much engagement at all, which probably shouldn't surprise you or me, but it surprises a lot of those industry marketing people going, look it, we have stuff. And just having stuff isn't the best way to go. And in fact, it can hurt you. But what I found was that, man, I wanted engagement. I wanted people to know, because this is when I was trying to build my brand, and I wanted to be someone that was known as a connector, and I wanted to be known as someone that, hey, if I needed something, it didn't matter what the industry was, Jacob was going to be the person that I called. So that was about the same time that we started Y Wednesday. That's the same time that we started my Friday kind of shout outs where we shout out three people that I met with that week. And I've done that for 3.5 years, I think, is kind of where the math breaks down now, which is kind of crazy that it's been that long. But that was good for me for a couple of reasons, because the LinkedIn algorithm takes your most recent posts, and if you got engagement from those, it will post your next post, and that's how it's going to get organic reach. And so what I found was, even if you're doing kind of cookie cutter stuff that certain industries will do, that would get more engagement if I started doing other things, other posts and other stuff. So I wanted to find ways to go, man, this is helping me be seen, because those people would engage with it, and then their connections would engage with it and at least become familiar with my name. And now I'm starting to do stuff that was related to my job and some of those things. And so it was kind of happened. I started seeing that and playing around with different things. And I started, but now, like, when I talk to people and I ask, I go, hey, here's what you should do. And here's where I think that marketing teams and salespeople really need to, at least once a quarter, get in a room together and go, here are the questions that we hear every time that we meet. So anybody like Emily, you can know probably the very first meeting you have with your prospective clients, you already know that here are one or two thoughts or questions they're already going to ask me. And so I go, hey, awesome, marketing team, let's create content around those questions. So before they even talk to me, I'm providing value and offering that for free anyway, because you'd be doing it in the first meeting. So add value there, create content around that. And then the second one is, what are things that they should be thinking about that they haven't thought about yet? And start creating the same thing. So go, hey, let's start getting them to think about the questions that they should be asking before they ever meet with you. And now we've provided the questions they are already going to do. And then the second piece is, now we're getting them further along, even in the pipeline, to start asking the questions that they should be asking, that where we might actually be a service to be able to do. And if people did that rather than operating independently, where the marketing team goes, oh yeah, this is what people are asking, and your people in the field are going, no, I've never had that question ever asked. There's just a disconnect often times, and that's not just LinkedIn, that's just marketing in general. And so I recommend at least quarterly, what are the conversations you're having, boots on the ground, and how do we start providing content around that?
Yeah, that's definitely what we teach inside of Local Business School, of like, how do you think ahead for your customers? How do you think ahead for clients? And like, what are they thinking about that, you know, is impacting their decision to buy from you? And that's content marketing, right? Like, that's what's working in 2021 more than anything, any like pitches and like, say, buy my services. It's like add value, educate, inspire, connect. Like, those are the words of 2021. And I hope moving forward, they're still the words. But I think you were kind of an early adopter to that. Like, your Why Wednesday videos and like, what you do on Friday is like three people to connect with. Like, I personally have benefited from that in terms of like meeting new people that I was like, oh, I just have like, I've heard about this organization, but never really like, you know, it's always in like the back of your mind. You're like, oh, I'll connect with these people someday. But then you bring those people top of mind. And something we chatted about before this podcast is like the fact that you get to be a bridge for someone to meet someone. So like, you're a matchmaker, right? Like, that is such an important role. If you take nothing else from this episode, I hope you take that being a bridge for people to meet is one of the most valuable things you can do as a business owner, period. Like, people remember that. They want to reciprocate that. This like feel good energy of like lifting up other people, lifting up local causes, talking about things you care about, like that. I mean, like you said, Jacob, like that creates a ripple effect. If we can do that and show up that way, then we can teach others to do that and show up that way. And like, that's why you're probably a hummingbird, right? Like, you get and understand that showing up using your voice in a positive way shows other people to do that. And so I think so much of what people maybe even tuning in to this are thinking is like, here are like the six steps that you need to grow your LinkedIn following and sell 10x more business. And it's just like, I hope we're shifting the conversation through this podcast that it's just like, how do you build meaningful relationships? So you want to talk a little bit about relationship building and how you use it? Because I've definitely been spammed in my LinkedIn inbox many a time, and I'm pretty sure you probably don't follow that specific tactic, right?
Yeah, it's actually something that I hate, especially when it's people try to pitch you your own services. Those are my favorite. Obviously, your targeting isn't very good if that's the case. But I mean, it is relationship building. People do business with people that they know, they like, and they trust, period. And so how do people get to know you? Well, one, you can create content around that. So while this is probably counterproductive for most people that would talk about marketing, but I want you to be posting about things, awards that you win. I want people to post about conferences that you're attending. I want people to post about their family and those types of things. And I'm not saying like Facebook type of stuff, because you can go way out there, but occasional stuff of here's the things I'm involved in. Here's the things that I stand for. Here's the things that I'm passionate about. Those are who you are as a person. And so I never want people to ever think that one, I'm going to pitch them as soon as we get connected. My LinkedIn game and strategy is I want you to know that there's essentially three things. One, I'm passionate about Des Moines. So my LinkedIn like headline says Des Moines enthusiast. I want you to know that a majority of what I'm going to post about is about cool things that are happening in Des Moines and some of the projects that individuals that are here are working on. I want people to know that I'm involved with Variety of the Children's Charity, period, because it's a cause I'm passionate about. I wouldn't be president if I wasn't. And we're doing amazing things. So, you know, in the last 5 years, we've raised about $500,000 for children in Iowa as a young professionals group. That is amazing. So I want to talk about that. And then, yes, I'm also a financial advisor for a principal. But if I lead with that, there's all kinds of connotations that are associated with that. So I want people to get to become familiar with me and what I'm passionate about so that they never go, oh, my gosh, 15 seconds later, I'm going to get pitched on LinkedIn, or the copy and paste thing that sometimes they don't even change the name from the last person. And that just frustrates me. So be able to be who you are in the way that you post and mingle that in with the things that you're involved in, the things that you're passionate about, and then also engage with people's posts. Like, that is an easy way to do things. So when I see things that people are looking for, accountants or marketing or whatever it is, or maybe there's an article that someone's like, hey, what are your thoughts? But it's not my industry. I'm going to tag those people and bring people that are experts in that field into conversations and go, hey, saw this, thought of you, what are your thoughts? And so the full disclosure, I spend about 30 minutes a day on LinkedIn. So most people think that I spend more, but I have three 10-minute segments where I want to go and like a few posts, do a few comments on things I think I can add value or bring people into, and that's it. And so that kind of stuff is powerful for a couple other reasons too, because then your stuff starts showing up in people's feeds if you comment on their stuff. So also a little bit selfish, but I want them to, again, start to become familiar with who I am, what I stand for, and then just ask people questions and be legitimate in those questions, because there's a way to ask questions with hidden motivations, I guess. But actually get to know people. And I'm a big fan of like 10-minute Zoom or Teams calls, just going, hey, tell me your story. Like the virtual world we live in, I don't have to go drive somewhere, be at a coffee shop, and then talk for 30, 40, 50 an hour, and then go somewhere else to the next thing. We are in a virtual world where we can hop on and go, hey, what are you passionate about? Tell me some things about you. Not a business pitch. I don't want any of those stuff. Who are you as a person? Because I was a early adopter of that. My hashtag, promote people, not products. I don't care about what you sell or what service you do. I want to know you. I'm going to promote you. Whether you stay at your current job or not, I'm going to stand by you as a person. And so my endorsement is of a person that they're competent, they're of good character, and they're ultimately good people.
Yeah, I love that you do that. And I think just kind of, this goes for LinkedIn, but it goes for every social strategy. If you use it as a place to nurture your network, get to know people, like that is such a great way to use the internet. And we've all unfortunately gotten the Facebook messengers, the DMs, the LinkedIn messages that are just like spam, copy paste. Sometimes forget to change the name, like, and it just doesn't feel good. And honestly, that especially in a local community, that leaves an impression, right? Like people don't feel good about that. And that's like, that's your personal brand and how people feel about you. And it, people are making decisions about you. So I love this perspective. And I'd love for you to have this great idea before we went live. Cause I think some people who are like B2C would be like, I just, you know, I'm still listening because I like your podcast, but like, I'm not convinced this is for me. And you have this like brilliant idea for restaurant owners. And I feel like you got to tell us.
Yeah, it's true. And it's not completely my idea. So full disclosure, Kyle Steele actually thought about this way before I ever did. I was just like, this is amazing. But there's a couple things. I mean, the average income on LinkedIn is $75,000. And which is misleading because, again, half the profiles are like college students with no incomes, right? And so, like, one, if you're B2C, the people that would theoretically buy your stuff are on LinkedIn. So they're there. So that's a key thing. And two, corporate America doesn't block LinkedIn. LinkedIn is still one of those social platforms that is viewed as professional networking. And so they don't block it. So if you're only targeting really like an 8 to 5 people, and this would be restaurants for lunch happy hours, real estate agents, mortgage lenders, things like this, of here are my target audience, you have a captive audience 8 to 5 where you go, hey, because right now we're filming this, but my post and my content is still being engaged with, which is amazing because now we only have 24 hours in a day. So how do we maximize that time? Social media is amazing to do that. But when, to Emily's point, what Kyle and I were talking about way back in the day was, man, you know, those times when we're starting to get hungry, you know, it's like 11:30. And I would just go, and if I was a restaurant, I'd go, hey, picture of a big burger and maybe a beer or a margarita, a martini, something, and going, hey, happy hour today. If you reference this thing or this code, it's buy one, get one beverage or 20% off of this. And now all of a sudden I'm sitting at corporate America job scrolling through LinkedIn like most people scroll through Instagram and Facebook. And I go, oh my gosh, I'm hungry and that burger looks amazing. Guys, remember when we were talking about going to happy hour? Now we're going to go to, we should go here because we get this discount as well. And this is awesome. But you can do that no matter what your thing was, your industry is. If your people are B2C, you can engage with those people while they're literally, well, it's a little bit different now that a lot of work from home, but as it transitions kind of back, it'll be a similar thing where you have a captive audience, just start putting stuff on your Hootsuite or whatever and going, what's when those people are on their lunch breaks or doing this, let's start showing up in their feed. And again, once a week, and you're already in the top 1% of LinkedIn users, start getting engagement and just creating content around those target audience. Now you can start to get them thinking while you're having other meetings and doing other stuff for your business anyway.
So that makes me think of like even boutique owners, of people who are like, so if we think about these individuals may have more disposable income is kind of what we're seeing from LinkedIn sharing their user data and information. So it's like, okay, well, if you have a boutique, like how can people consider like visiting you after they get off work to buy their Mother's Day gift or gift for a friend? So I love that positioning of it. And just like, again, humanizing your story too, because I think a lot of people who start local businesses as well came from corporate. So they had the LinkedIn page, they have a presence already. And then they start this business and they kind of just like neglect their LinkedIn because they were like, oh, it was only when I worked for someone else. And I'm like, no, like get that updated, show what you're doing now, because you never know who that like old coworker from 5 years ago, like you get brought up in the lunchroom and they're like, oh, like what's Susie up to now? And then you go check their LinkedIn and you see what they're doing. And I think there's so much value to just like, at least, you know, maybe you're not posting multiple times a week, but have a presence, especially if you've built an audience and have a followership of like people in your local community. They're likely ready to support you if you've shown up for them. So as you transition out of an old job and into something new that's your own, like still such a great place. So I love that example of B2C. Like I had not quite thought that way. And I just really appreciate it. I'm sure listeners will as well. So anything else that's going on with LinkedIn, like at least in 2021, like I see articles, like are video working? Like what other features do you feel like listeners need to know about?
Yeah, and it's always going to be changing. So here's the reality is video is the least performing of all the things that you could do. Infographics right now are going to be the best performing. That was the opposite a year ago. And so it's always changing. And so if we can learn anything from it, your target audience, if you're a business owner, is you probably have multiple target audiences from the way that they engage content. So what you really need to do and why it's important to work with a marketing company or your marketing team is go, how can we communicate the same message in different formats so that we can post those to different platforms so that we can post it and get different engagement? Because the way that LinkedIn views work is for a regular post, that's just somebody showed up in your feed. So if you did a post and you have 1,000 views, that means it showed up in 1,000 people's timelines. But it doesn't tell you how long it was there. If it, you scroll by it, it counts. Video, though, means you've at least watched 3 seconds. It doesn't tell you how long the video was watched, but it does tell you that you have somebody watched 3 seconds, which means somebody stayed there. And so while it gets the least amount of viewership, you get more likely to get engagement. So the people that are, oh, I'm interested in this, these are probably more likely to be your buyer. So how do you get the hook? How do you get them to watch? This is no different than other videos, whether you're YouTube or whatever, but how do you get them? Because you want to grab their attention. And if they're paying attention, then they're more likely to be buyers anyway. And so, but that could change. The algorithm will always be changing. So to go, hey, here's what it's doing right now, we're going to focus everything now, means that if you do that, it might be really good maybe for the next month, 6 months, maybe even a year. But the moment the algorithm changes, one, you're going to find that out pretty quickly. And then, oh, shoot, what's our plan? Now we need to reevaluate and keep testing. But if you keep on doing things in using different formats, well, then you don't have to do that. You're going to keep on getting engagement with the people that are engaging with that type of stuff. And the stuff that's doing better, you're already creating that stuff. So you're not reevaluating every 3 to 6 months to go, oh, no, now we need to figure out what the new algorithm's doing. So to engage is ultimately most important. And to get people to like and comment. So shares are actually the worst thing for you. Ironically, because everyone wants to share it. But LinkedIn rewards original content. So if I'm sharing Emily stuff, I didn't come up with it. So less of my followers are going to see Emily's stuff. But now if I like it, if I comment on it, if I start engaging with it in that way, now we can start boosting. And that's how you get second, third degree connections that start to become familiar with who you are before you ever meet. So I always want to just at least highlight that and go, hey, you want to get comments, you want to get likes, but comments are the best, and get people to engage with that. That's ultimately it. So to, yeah, find engagement and post things in different formats so that you can be ahead of the game. And if you, I mean, a millennial doesn't engage the same way as somebody that's in their 60s. And so it'd be foolish for us to go, our end all marketing strategy is to post this way, because you're going to completely cut off some of your market.
I was just thinking about one of the clients we work with is a promotional marketing company in Des Moines, and they you know, we create content for their business profiles. And like, cool, to have a company page, to have, you know, an Instagram business page is one thing. But when our clients talk about it, the people they work with from their own perspective, right? So me talking about a client I'm working with is different than a company talking about the client they're working with. And so something that we're even doing is like repurposing content from a blog and having the individual share it via her own article. And so I think in today's age, like just like you were saying, Jacob, you can repurpose so much content. Like your Why Wednesdays are still relevant for so many people who are, you know, still doing the same thing. And like you, there's so much you can do with something really great you wrote like 2 years ago. If it's like an evergreen type of thing, like put it in as a LinkedIn article. And if it's doing well, like create a short video on it, because people do consume different content differently. Maybe it's based on age, preference, a lot of things. And I think, you know, LinkedIn is only going to continue growing too, and all the features they roll out. So I guess we get to follow you, Jacob, to see how you're leading the way with all of these things, since you're so tuned in. But I really, like, I learned a ton from this conversation and feel like, you know, people tuning in too have a chance to look at LinkedIn, hopefully with a fresh perspective. Maybe they just don't think you have to wear the corporate suit and, you know, show up that way. But anything else before we close out the conversation on what else we need to know about the LinkedIn?
Ultimately, it's be somewhat active and be engaged. It's like anywhere else or any other platforms, is people are going to follow you. But the only way to make LinkedIn work is you have to get strategic about who you're connected with, whether you're B2B or you're B2C, because likes don't pay your bills. Shares don't pay your bills. Engagements or views don't pay the bill. So ultimately, anybody that wants to use any social platform for brand awareness and business growth has to be looking at the bottom line. And so the only way to do that is go, who is your target audience? You have to really nail down on who are we trying to do. And LinkedIn allows you, you can go, this industry, this company, these titles. So who are the buying people for you, especially if you're B2B? Like, connect with those people and connect with the people that they're connected with, so that they are making those buying decisions, so that you have a network full of the people that want to hear your solutions to their problems. And it only works if you do that. If you just shotgun and I'm going to connect with everybody, then, well, guess what? If your target audience is over here and half your audience is this way or the opposite of whatever you're trying to do, the people they're connected with are probably going to be aligned more with their jobs and their industry. So you're just completely missing out there. So LinkedIn still, last I looked, 60% of people view it for industry specific content. So people are actually coming to that platform to go, I'm looking for articles, I'm looking for content, I'm looking for answers to a specific problem. And LinkedIn is still viewed as kind of the place to get industry specific stuff. And so take advantage of that. But the only way you can do that is make sure your network is the right network. Otherwise, you're going to be shooting yourself in the foot, because if people don't engage with it, LinkedIn has this human aspect to its algorithm that will say, hey, if I post so many things and Emily never likes or comments on anything, LinkedIn goes, Jacob doesn't post things that are relative to Emily. So we're going to take Jacob's stuff out of her feed. And so if you just constantly are posting and not getting any engagement, you're actually hurting yourself. So you need to make sure that the people you're connected with are the right people based on who you're trying to target.
So stinking good. I love it. So many good things to take from this conversation. And for some people, it's like, you know, maybe just testing. I think for anyone in any social media platform and any, it's like choose one, you know, go all in for like 3 months. I'm always like, that's my advice to any local business owner that's like, I'm so overwhelmed. There's so many ways to grow. I'm like, okay, pick one to test for 3 months. Go all in. Don't just like, I don't know, just dabble here. Like commit, like build your network, invest in people, build conversations, create like new connections, and, you know, then form an opinion, then have like enough data to make decisions on if you continue down this path or if it's maybe not as fruitful as it could be. And 3 months is still short, right? Like, I'm not saying that's like the time frame, but at least from an experimentation, like, give yourself that time. So if people want to connect with you, obviously we're going to send them to LinkedIn, but like, where should they go next?
Well, go ahead and start on LinkedIn, because that's the easiest way, and I'm on consistently. So you can get a hold of me there pretty easily.
Thank you for coming and sharing your brilliance with us. And I can't wait to keep learning about all the new people that you're meeting. And then I get to like meet from afar. So thank you for what you do in Des Moines and in the world through the ripple effects of what you're creating. I'm glad you're on the show today, Jacob.
Oh, thanks for having me.
And that's a wrap. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of Local to Legend. If you really enjoyed this episode, as always, feel free to share it with someone who may need a dose of inspiration today, or feel free to leave a review so we can touch more lives of local business owners everywhere. And say hello to us in the DMs if you hang out on Instagram. We're over at love.local, and we love supporting you, getting to know you, sharing your stuff, and learning what you're all about. So thanks for tuning in, and we'll catch you next time.